Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to today's edition of Evangelize for Life with Stephen Glover, evangelist, church planter, and missionary. Stephen is the former National Evangelism Missionary for the North American Mission Board, a former church planter, who holds a master's degree in church planting and evangelism from Liberty University. Stephen has served as a domestic missionary for over 12 years, and evangelism is something he does every day. Now here's your host, Stephen Glover.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome again to another episode of Evangelize for Life with your host, Stephen Glover. We have a wonderful program in store for you today, dealing with the recently released film regarding or depicting Muhammad, the founder of the Islamic faith. And so based on that particular release and accurate depiction of Muhammad and his life, many Muslims throughout the world have rebelled, or they call it protesting. It's not protesting, those rioting, violently attacking the Libyan and killing the ambassador from the United States and three others there. So all based on the fact regarding the depiction of Muhammad in this particular film. So we're going to look at that today, and before we get started, we're going to open in a word of prayer. Father, we just thank you for your son, Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and the sins of those who believe and place their faith and trust in him, Lord. You're sovereign. We know that, God, that from the foundation, you created us, and you created the nation, the Jewish nation, through Abraham, as well as the Arab nation through Ishmael. And God, the warring, the fighting that we see going on today, Lord, it all comes back to your word. And Father, the solution is only found in the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus Christ. Father, we know that there will not be peace on earth until he returns, but you commission your believers to go into the world and restore the sight to the blind. And we see those who are protesting, fighting, and warring and murdering in the streets do so because they are blinded by the prince of this air, which is Satan. And we pray, God, that your believers will take the gospel to them in order that the blind eyes may see and that they may hear the truth of Jesus Christ. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me begin today by playing a clip for you from Hillary Clinton and her response to the attack in Libya and the murder of the U.S. ambassador to Libya. All right.
It appears to have a deeply cynical purpose to denigrate a great religion and to provoke rage. But as I said yesterday, there is no justification, none at all, for responding to this video with violence. We condemn the violence that has resulted, the strongest term, and we greatly appreciate that many Muslims in the United States and around the world have spoken out on this issue. Violence, we believe, has no place in religion and is no way to honor religion. We are closely watching what is happening in Yemen and elsewhere, and we certainly hope and expect that there will be steps taken to avoid violence and prevent the escalation
Now, you guys heard from Hillary Clinton's own mouth, or her response to the quote-unquote anti-Islam film, and she referred to it as being disgusting or reprehensible. She referred to Islam as being a great religion, and where there is no, she said, there is no room for violence in and no justification for what is going on around the world, not just in Libya, but Yemen and many other places. I wonder if they just refuse to acknowledge that Islam, and even in this movie, it depicts Muhammad as he actually is. And the Quran reveals Muhammad, and we're going to read a couple of excerpts regarding what Muhammad wrote, or what those who said or quoted Muhammad. You have the Hadith, you have the Quran, and there you get a good depiction of what and who Muhammad is. Now, in order to understand what a true Muslim is, you really have to look at the teaching. You have to look at its founder. And in this particular video or movie that was produced, it predicts or portrays Muhammad as he actually is. He's not being anti-Islamic. He is actually just portraying Muhammad as revealed and as taught in the Muslim faith and tradition. Now, the thing is that he's not being, or is not anti or Islamophobic. They're just trying to, right now, depict him as being anti-Islamic or against Islam. Well, if he's presenting the truth about Islam and they don't like it, then it seems like the problem falls with them. When you read the Bible, when you read Scripture, you see that Christ is not a rapist like Muhammad. He's not a pedophile like Muhammad. He was not a adulterer like Muhammad, multiple wives like Muhammad. He wasn't any of those. He didn't pillage villages. He didn't rob caravans. He didn't murder or cut hands off. No, Jesus Christ came in order to set men free from sin. And so he, a bond slave, came into the world not to be served, but to give his life as a ransom for sin. And that is true Christianity. Anyone who is a believer and a follower of Christ is one who lays down his life for his brother, for his friend, even his enemy. The Bible teaches that you are to bless your enemies, not curse them. However, we're going to get and we're going to look at some verses in the Quran to confirm not only the movie that's being predicted, but what we see going on in the world are the actions that Muhammad had instituted that the men and women and children are to do in relationship to infidels, unbelievers, Jews. Anybody that is a non-Muslim is an enemy of quote-unquote Allah. Now, where did all this begin? I think it's important that in order to get a grasp on this and what you see going on in the world, all you have to do is open up God's infallible word. For example, the Arabs and the Jews and all the warring and fighting, the billions of Muslims that surround the millions of Jews in Jerusalem and Israel. Well, it all began back in Genesis chapter 16, where we know that Abraham, God had promised Abraham that he was going to have a son. Now, many years later, he had not had that son. And because of that, Sarah and Abraham, and I have to include him because he agreed to it, devised a plan that Abraham would go into Hagar, and that was Sarah's handmaid, go into her handmaid and bring forth a child, the child of the promise. Now, the Bible refers to Ishmael, the child that was born from Hagar, as the child of the flesh. And then it refers to Isaac some 25 years later that was born to Sarah. When her womb was closed, God opened her womb, and there is born Isaac. Isaac is the Israel and the surrounding nations. Now, it's interesting that when you look in Genesis chapter 16, and you guys understand that God, he had said regarding the Arabs, or the Arabs, or their descendants, who were descendants of Ishmael through Hagar, in chapter 16, verse 11, the angel of the Lord said to her, speaking of Hagar, behold, you are with child. So here, the plan worked. They were able to, Hagar was able to conceive a child, and you shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Ishmael, the angel talking to Hagar. And it says, because the Lord has given heed to your affliction, and he will be, and this is how he is described by God in Scripture, he will be a wild donkey of a man. If anyone knows anything about a donkey, he is uncontrollable. And he basically does what he wants to do when he wants to do it. Now listen, he goes into even more detail. His hand will be against everyone. So the descendants of Ishmael will fight and war against everyone. And that is exactly what you see. Not only do Muslims or Arabs, and remember, Muslim or Islam is a practice, a particular faith, and we're going to get into how it came about and how Islam is a 7th century practice, a 7th century system, and we'll get into that here in a minute. But he says here that he will be against everyone. He will fight against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. So they fight the infidel, which Christians and non-Muslims, they fight the Jew, and they fight each other. You have Persians, you have people, or the different within Muslims, Sunni Muslims, you have the different Muslim groups within Islam. And so he says his hand will be against everyone, Saudi Arabia fighting Iran. They oppose Iran getting a nuclear weapon. And so they fight even amongst themselves. And because the Quran teaches that it's okay to lie, they also lie to one another. And the reason why I say that is that the Bible, or not the Bible, but the Quran, says that Allah is the greater deceiver. So who they follow is known as the deceiver. Now, according to Scripture in John chapter 8, the Bible says that the father of lies is Satan. So the Quran, in its Quranic origin, Muhammad received a revelation in a cave and reported to his wife, Khadija, that she felt as if it was a demonic spirit. And how did she say, how did she test to see if it was a demonic spirit? Well, she began to undress. And she was saying that a good spirit would leave the room and the demonic spirit would remain. And that is how they tested whether or not Muhammad had received a revelation. And even every time he received a revelation, he would fall to the ground and he would begin to foam at the mouth. They would wrap him up and then he would say, and they would copy down what it was that he received during that epileptic or demonic fit. Now here in Genesis 16, and everyone's hand will be against him, and he will live to the east of all his brothers. Now, it's interesting. To the east of all his brothers. Now, we're talking about in relationship to Israel. And so we see that Israel is not only surrounded, or the Muslims are to the east, Saudi Arabia, Syria, Iraq, Iran, etc. But we also see that now they've spread, and they've spread into Africa. Now you have Libya, you have Egypt, and all the surrounding nations are now predominantly Muslim. Now you've got to understand that Islam, when you look at Islam, it is a 7th century practice, philosophy. So in the 7th century, the culture was divine law. In fact, and this is according to Fast Facts of False Teaching by Dr. Ron Carson and Ed Decker, it says, in fact, Islam is the deification of 7th century Arabian culture. Unless you understand the historical text of when and where Muhammad was born, he says, you'll never understand Islam. Now, what does he mean by that? Islam imposes 7th century Arabian culture in its political expression. Now, understand this. This is why democracy will not work in Islamic countries. Iran, waste of time. Afghanistan, waste of time. Because Islam is imposed in every aspect of the life of a Muslim. Political expression, in family affairs, in dietary laws, in its clothing. So Islam is more than just a religion. It is a practice. So what Muhammad did, Muhammad took political laws which governed 7th century Arabian tribes, and he made them the laws of Allah, which is their God. And that God is a small tree, small g. So in such tribes, the sheikh or chief of the nomadic tribes, he had absolute authority. And this was back then. And this is why you see in the countries, Arab countries, Libya, Iran, Iraq, Syria, Sudan, Yemen, you see one ruler, one dictator, because that is the 7th century way of doing things. And that is how they continue to run their country. That is the practice of Islam. And so they go on to say, because there was no concept of personal freedom or civil rights in the tribal life of 7th century Arabia, Islamic law today does not recognize freedom of speech. So you see what I'm saying? So the protesting or the rioting that is going on, they don't allow people to protest anything other than the violation of some Islamic law or violation of the character or nature of Muhammad. So they're not out there protesting for freedom. And what we saw earlier that went on was a deception. It was to bring in the Muslim Brotherhood, who currently is in rulership, and they didn't want a dictatorship. They didn't want democracy. They wanted dictatorship. And that's exactly what you have in Libya, you have in Egypt, and you have in all these other countries. So they go on to say Islamic law today does not recognize freedom of speech, freedom of religion. See, you can't have a church in most of these Islamic countries because of the fact that they do not allow. We just saw just recently pastor released from jail after 3 years because of his faith. He's a Christian. And he was falsely accused and arrested and trumped up charges for all kinds of things he did not do, to the point where, because of the world outcry, he was not executed, because for proselytization, the sentence is death. So freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, or freedom of press. And this is why non-Muslims, such as Christians, are routinely denied the most basic of human rights and are often physically attacked or jailed. Why is that? Because they go against the teaching and the philosophy and the practice of Islam. It's a culture, and they're not separated as we do in America to try to separate church and state, you know, from that false letter or not taken out of context of something that Thomas Jefferson wrote to some Baptist ministers. Not in the Constitution, not in Declaration of Independence, none of that. But in Islam, they are not divided. Now, why do you see all the rioting? Why do you see the murder of this U.S. ambassador? Why was he killed? Why were the other individuals killed? Because, according to the Quran, and I'm going to read a couple of excerpts. This is from the Quran, generous Quran. It's not a holy book. It's actually a demonic book. It's a demonic religion, because the Bible says that Satan masquerades as an angel of light. And so as Muhammad described his encounter, it was not from God. It was not an angel. It was a demonic being that revealed to Muhammad these revelations, and he wrote them down. And listen to what the devil had Muhammad say. This is in Surah, and that's the name of the book, chapter 47. He says, "So when you meet those who became infidels," so anyone that's a non-Muslim, "so strike the net," or he means decapitating. And this is the reason why you can go on the internet today and you could see individuals being decapitated, being beheaded. Interesting. And this is the reason why a true Muslim, matter of fact, I just had a conversation, and like you heard the intro, that I do evangelism every day, and that's really true. And I had a conversation with a young man. He was an American, but he had the beard. He had his wife or whomever there with her head covered, and while exercising and working out, and we got into a conversation. And it was during our conversation that I explained to him that Islam, the teachings of Islam, the teachings of Muslims, Islam and Muhammad, are encapsulated or are completely immersed in violence. And here is an example. Of course, he didn't understand that, because I explained to him that what you see going on around the world is true Islam. It's not a religion of peace. So Hillary Clinton is not correct in that statement. It's not a peaceful religion. It's not a great religion. It's a demonic religion. And so listen, until you have made a great slaughter among them, he says, so firmly bind them, so let there be either be free dismissals or for ransom until the war is over. So if you convert to Islam and you denounce your faith, Buddhism, Hinduism, or if you're a Christian, you denounce Christ, then guess what? Then you can go free. But it's either you convert or you die. And this is a war that is going on right now where Islam is against the world. And their goal is world domination. Now, how do they convert people? They convert people by the sword. And like I said just a second ago, you either convert to Islam or you die by the sword. So here's another example as I look through the Quran and what it teaches. And I suggest that many of you get in contact with Osama Dadak, who was a Christian who grew up in Egypt, and he translated the Quran into English. Now, most Muslims are not aware of what the Quran teaches. So therefore, he translated it into English so that you can understand what the teachings are. Now, in Islam, and I'm going to get here to another where it tells you to cut their hands off, but in Islam, you can lie. Allah will not hold you responsible for the mere utterance in your oath, but he will hold you responsible, he says, in regard to an oath taken seriously. So as long as Muslims are working towards their overall objective, which is world domination, then it's okay to lie according to their teaching. Now, that doesn't, again, Satan is the father of lies. And so we know that he not only is the father of lies, but he is the origin of this book. Not only are you able to lie, but you cut off the people's hands if they are caught stealing. They deny basically the Trinity. This is in Surah chapter 4. They deny that Jesus died on the cross. A lot of things, as you read the Quran, you'll find that their teachings contradict Scripture. They even tell that, or in the Quran, that Muslims, all Muslims, will enter into hell. They will have a period of time. It's okay to beat your wife. That's what it teaches in the Quran, that men are superior to women. And matter of fact, it takes two women to equal one man. In another one, Muslims will be in hell for a period of time, And as I'm looking through the Quran, I've gone through it, and just looking at some of the highlights of some of the things, woman is less than men, some of the things I had talked about, divorce is allowable or is allowed. Even the story that they try to tell of Jesus and his birth, because they believe that Jesus is a prophet, but they don't believe that he is God. Fighting and spreading Islam by the sword is taught in Surah chapter 47. Let me see, chapter 48. And this is what it says. He says, say to the Bedouins or the Arabs who lag behind in battle, you will be called to face a people of substantial mighty valor. You will wage war against them, for they will become Muslims. So if they obey, Allah will give you a good wage. And if you turn away, as you turned away before, he will torment you with a painful torment. There is no blame on the blind, nor blame on the lame, nor blame on the sick. And whoever obeys Allah and his messenger will admit him into gardens below them, the rivers flow, and whoever turns away, he will torment him with a painful torment. So we see that there are only two choices, accept Islam or be killed with a sword. And it clearly teaches here that even some people there are exempt from war, but it clearly teaches that, again, that you are to fight with a sword, and you are to kill the infidels. You are to strike their necks. You are to cut off their hands. And I was trying to find that particular verse where it talked about the infidels and cutting off their head. And you find this throughout Scripture. Those who reject the Quran are infidels. That's in chapter 29. And even I was mentioning earlier about Jesus and his birth, that his first miracle was that he talked as a baby after Miriam, is what Muhammad called Mary. So he got that incorrect, that he spoke as a baby. And so obviously there was some plagiarism that took place, but sadly Satan has deceived so many, and most Muslims aren't even familiar and have never read the Quran. They basically listen to what the imam says. But even in I was looking at chapter 14, where it talks about God led Eve astray, Satan. It looks like it would run out of time. Even talks about the wicked have black faces, so there's a little bigotry. I guess probably the best thing to do is to pick up tomorrow and continue to talk about this topic, because of the fact that I found another verse in Surah chapter 5 that's talking about cutting their hands off and killing. But not the one I'm looking for regarding cutting your hands off. So we're going to have to cover that tomorrow. But let me just say this, that if you're listening to the program today as your Lord and Savior, let me encourage you to get going. He's coming soon, and we know that when he comes, he's going to judge the living and the dead, because all power and authority has been given to him. Now, how are you saved? If you're Islamic, if you're Muslim, if you practice Islam, that the Bible is very clear that repenting of that sin, repenting of that practice, turning to faith in Jesus Christ, understanding that he died, he was buried, and he rose again on the third day, and understanding that I know it will cost you your family, but Jesus said that anyone that's going to follow him must be willing to forsake his father, his mother, his brother, even his own life. So we'll pick this up again tomorrow, and thank you again for joining me, and love.